This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas, presented by U-Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Melissa Idris, and joining me on today's Breakfast Grill is Roy Quek, the Executive Director of TMC Life Services. Now, back in March, Life Sciences, the tycoon Peter Lim, also known in Singapore as the Remisier King, now he injected the privately held Thomson Medical Group and TMC Life Sciences into the Singapore-listed real estate firm Rousley. Now, Rousley is now renamed and is now known as Thomson Medical Group. That's to reflect its change in focus from real estate to healthcare. So we're going to be talking about that today. So I welcome Roy to the show. Good morning, Roy.
Thank you, Melissa. Good morning.
Let's begin with the Rousley acquisition. Now, as I mentioned, it was finalized in March. You're going through the rebranding exercise at every level of the corporation. How will the Rousley acquisition change the way you do business at TMC Life Sciences?
I have a very short answer to that. That's we don't change the way we do business, but we change the way we operate as a business. Previously, we had a common major shareholder, and that was Peter Lim, as you mentioned. Okay. Today, we are part of a single healthcare platform. It's a single medical group, Thomson Medical Group.
Mm-hmm.
What that allows us to do post-corporate size is to be able to harness the synergies between the operations in Singapore and Malaysia to make sure that we're able to bring together the range of services that our customers, our patrons, our patients need. And for us to be able to bring TMC Life Sciences as part of Thomson Medical Group into the rest of Asia.
Well, okay, so if we were to focus on Thomson Medical Group, or Rousley, as it was once known, this is seen to be yet another revival act for Rousley. It was a big real estate player with all that land in Iskandar, Johor. It had that prestigious Singaporean architecture firm, RSP. There was also plans, I think, a while ago to acquire the China solar energy firm that went nowhere. Now, there's been a history here, Roy, of chasing acquisitions that don't always live up to expectations. How will this transformation plan from real estate group into a major healthcare player, how will this time be different for Rousley or for Thomson Medical?
I'm here. Well, to put it simply, I can't comment on what Rousley as a group did previously because I was not involved. The acquisition of the healthcare assets, as far as I'm concerned, marks a very different direction for the group. You know, whether you're talking about property, you know, architectural work before, into healthcare. I think most people would know that in the healthcare sector, the growth prospects are significantly brighter across the economy in Asia. A lot of people are looking to come into the healthcare sector. TMC Life Sciences in Malaysia, the Thomson Medical in Singapore are both doing well. These are businesses that have been around a while. Next year, we celebrate the 40th anniversary of Thomson Medical in Singapore. Next year is also the 25th anniversary of TMC Life Sciences. These are companies that have been operating for some time. These are companies that have been operating successfully for some time. And bringing us together allows us, as I said earlier, to synergize, to be able to, among other things, bring together our collective experience over the decades and being able now to look at this and say, with the size and scale that we have, what more can we do?
Right. So if we were to look at the operations here in Malaysia, the TMC Life Sciences, here you operate the Tropicana Medical Center in Kota Damansara. That's been renamed, as I understand it, to Thomson Hospital Kota Damansara. Going to short form that to THKD, if I can make that acronym there. It contributes about 80% to TMC's revenue currently. The other 20% comes from your fertility centres. Is that a ratio that you're happy with, that is going to be maintained going forward?
Well, I tell my two CEOs, I have a CEO for the hospital operations and a CEO for the fertility business. I tell them I do not have a preferred proportion between the two of them. I just want both of them to grow the businesses. I think that's the important thing. And both of them are in a sense, sweet spots.
Is one growing faster than the other?
Both are growing, I think, at about the same rate today, which is great news for us because whether it's 80% share or 20% share, I want both of them to be able to grow the business. The demand for general healthcare services in Malaysia, in Asia, is growing. And healthcare services include the traditional model of care where you have people who are sick and they come to the hospitals. It also goes into lifestyle-related issues like wanting to have a family, to start a family, and that's where fertility comes in. And we see the trend for fertility treatments in Asia to be a very positive one for a simple reason that most of the Asian countries are going through growth and development much in the same way as you see in the countries in Europe and the US, where we become more affluent, mm-hmm. where societies now have more options in life. Unfortunately, what that means also is that couples are getting married later. Okay. They're beginning to start families later as well, which naturally brings us to the issue of when they want to, can they? And if they have difficulties, they face challenges, who do they go to? And today, TMC Fertility is the choice for many couples because we are the most awarded private fertility operator in the region. We also are in the Malaysia Book of Records for having the most number of IVF births.
Well, if I could just stay on the fertility topic for 1 second before we move on to your other elements of the medical business. Just on your personal experience, Roy, you spent 21 years with the Singapore government serving in various ministries. One of the most outstanding achievements, I have to say, was that when you were in the Ministry of Health, you founded the country's National Population Secretariat. So I'm just wondering, in terms of demand for fertility services, is there a difference in Malaysia and Singapore?
Just a minor clarification. When I founded the National Population Secretariat, I was not in the Ministry of Health yet. I was actually in the Prime Minister's office.
Right.
Okay. And the reason why such a organization was deemed necessary in Singapore at the time was we were facing a serious population challenge because, you know, Singapore has a famously low birth rate. The total fertility rate in Singapore, it's about 1.2, well below the 2.1 replacement rate that we have. Singapore is one of the fastest Asian countries in Asia and, in fact, in the world. You need to have a very coherent and strategic plan on how you want to address this problem and this challenge. And fertility treatment was one of the areas we looked at. And one of the policies that I introduced when I was there was to introduce subsidies in the public hospitals for couples who require fertility treatments in Singapore.
And in Malaysia, what have you observed in terms of demand from the Malaysian perspective?
I think the demand trend in Malaysia mimics that of most other countries on the same developmental pathway. You see a lot of couples now because by virtue of the fact that they are starting families later, they find it more challenging. It is a very common characteristic you see in most developed countries. The issue now really is, are they able to get the support they need early? And are we able to deliver to them cost-effective treatments? Because fertility treatments may not happen overnight.
Sure.
And they are not always cheap.
Okay, so that is the fertility centres under TMC Life Sciences. Let's take a look at Thompson Hospital, Kota Damansara, currently 200 beds. And I understand that you're expanding that building to include 400 beds by 2020. That makes it 600 beds. Now, right now, with the 200 beds that you have, what's the occupancy rate or the average occupancy rate at the moment?
Well, thanks, Melissa. You're right. We're indeed expanding. We've just had our power capping ceremony last week where we've completed piling for the expansion to add another 400 beds. At the 205 beds that we have currently, in fact, I just checked the occupancy rate this morning. We are operating beyond 70%. And for a private hospital, once you go past the 70%, 80% mark, you are technically full.
Right. So there needs to be a little bit of a buffer.
Absolutely.
You can't hit 100% occupancy.
Absolutely.
Rate.
Absolutely. You find that in public hospitals, and that's when you have very long waiting times. In a private hospital, for us in particular, I see this as a sign of two things. One, we know there's very strong general demand for quality healthcare in Malaysia, especially in the Klang Valley area. Two, there's also a holdover from the long festive period, you know, when school holidays, the Raya period, and when we had the election as well. So some people basically were putting off the elective procedures to about now.
So the strong demand that you say, what's driving it, apart from postponing elective procedures, what's driving this, you know, your claims of strong demand for private healthcare?
I think the strong demand for healthcare per se And people are coming to private healthcare for a few reasons. One, the doctors. Healthcare is a function of quality. People are looking for access to good doctors. They're also looking for access that can be had fairly conveniently, meaning wait times need to be shorter. And they're looking for cost-effective care. TMC Life Sciences, Thompson Hospital, Kota Damansara, we believe in quality care. We also believe in cost-effective care. That's very important for us. And I think a lot...
How do you balance the both, Roy? Cost and quality?
It is not as challenging and difficult to do that as most people imagine. One, you need to have the right team with you. You need to have people who are basically passionate about what they do and are prepared to go the extra mile. What that means basically is that instead of having two people doing the same work, I have one. I can reduce my cost of manpower. Two, if I have doctors who are prepared to go the extra mile, if a patient pays a slight premium, he or she feels it is still worth it because they're getting the highest quality care, they're getting the undivided attention of the doctors and the nurses, and they feel better.
So how big is your pool of clinical professionals at the moment in your hospitals?
For the hospital, we have over 100 specialists. We cover the full range of specialties in the hospital. It's a general hospital, tertiary care level. We've recently been awarded Best ENT Centre at the Global Health Travel Awards. We've, for many years now, been consistently, you know, trying to market ourselves and position ourselves as a choice location for top doctors.
So if I could clarify, your hospital is a tertiary care hospital.
It is.
That means you go and see specialists after being referred to from primary care or secondary
Absolutely.
Care. The doctors are seen as independent contractors or are they employees?
Yes, we have a combination of doctors who are directly hired by us as well as independent contractors.
And do you know the ratio of doctors to beds for your hospitals?
Well, with 100, just over 100 doctors to 200 beds, so it's about 1 to 2.
When you expand, are you going to make sure that ratio doesn't fall?
Absolutely. And in fact, with expansion, you have economies of scale. We could potentially service and have more doctors working with us.
I'm speaking to Roy Quek, the group CEO of TMC Life Sciences. We'll be back to discuss whether medical tourism is a driver to the business. Stay tuned to The Breakfast Grill on BFM 89.9.
You are listening to The BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Thanks for staying with us. I'm Melissa Idris. I'm speaking to Roy Quek, the Executive Director of TMC Life Sciences, today on The Breakfast Grill. Now, we were talking about how you're aggressively expanding your hospital-focused business here in Kota Damansara. You're adding another 500 beds, if I'm not mistaken, 400 beds to the expansion, making it a total of 600. You're also going to be expanding your business in the Thompson Iskandar Medical Hub in Johor. So that's the land that I mentioned earlier that Rousley previously owns at Vantage Bay, Johor. That is going to be starting construction works for the new hospital soon, if I'm not mistaken. Is that on track?
Yes, it is. In fact, we expect to start piling fairly soon. The hospital project at Johor Bahru Thompson Iskandar Medical Hub is a 500-bed tertiary hospital with a 400-suite medical tower. It's part of a much larger plan that we have for what we call Vantage Bay in Johor Bahru. It sits on 11 hectares of land, and we see ourselves developing over time an integrated healthcare city. Advantage B.
Right, so that land there, it's technically a greenfield project, isn't it? So you're building this hospital as part of a medical hub. What exactly is there at the moment? This is the Vantage Bay land that is owned by Rousley.
Right. Well, the land, basically right now, what we have at the southern side. So let me just give listeners a good visual of what the land is and where it is. The land as it stands, Vantage Bay, is at Stulang Laut in Johor Bahru. It is just a 5 minutes drive from the causeway between Singapore and Johor. And it is a very short distance from, hopefully, when the RTS is operational, the Bukit Syaga RTS station as well. It's 11 hectares of greenfield land, as you said. The northern end of it is where we're going to start with the project, Thompson Medical, where we have Thompson Iskandar Medical Hub.
Mm-hmm.
Today at the southern end, which is at the waterfront, we have restaurants and we have TMC Care, or pharmacy under TMC Life Sciences.
So these 500 beds at the Thomson Iskandar, who's it going to be for? Who's your target market in Johor?
Today, Malaysia has two very big and very successful medical hubs. One in the Klang Valley, the other one in Penang. There are plans by the government to develop a southern hub, and that's in Johor. And I'm fully supportive and in full agreement with the government that you need to have a southern hub. Johor's population today is about 4 million. Half of that population resides in Johor Bahru. And I personally believe that the Johor Bahru population, the Johor population in general, is underserved in terms of healthcare.
Is this targeting the Singapore market at all?
For sure. I think when you look at our location, it is very convenient in time, not just for Singaporeans, but for anybody transiting or based out of Singapore to come over to, you know, Thomson Iskandar and to Vantage Bay Healthcare City. But our primary focus is to serve the people of Johor and the people from the neighbouring states, because that has to be, for any development, our core focus.
So it's not yet built, right? So you're pending approval from regulators.
Yes.
When do you expect to secure that final approval?
Well, we just had a meeting with the ministry, the Ministry of Health, and we expect that, you know, the final approval should be coming in fairly soon. We are in a series of discussions on the design. It is quite a unique design, and it's taken...
Unique? Why is it unique? What's different?
If you go to Johor today, if you look at hospitals in general, you find that you have the big public hospitals like Sultan Aminah, sprawling, huge, you know, complex, but low-rise. You have basically fewer private hospitals in Johor Bahru, than you have in Klang Valley, in Penang. We will have a very iconic one that basically fronts the southern end of Johor, overlooking the waterfront. We're going to have a design that allows us to integrate centres of excellence within a tertiary setup that also allows us to bring in experimental research that allows us to have access to educational facilities and training.
Is this going to be a teaching hospital?
I won't call it a teaching hospital at this point. In fact, part of what we intend to do is to have an education hub within Vantage Bay Healthcare City to go with the hospital. This hospital is meant to be a full-service hospital. We may well do some training in the hospital depending on how we develop the educational aspect of the project.
Okay, so not just looking at providing medical services, but also kind of health education as well. I'd like to move on, Roy, to the issue of medical tourism. I'm wondering, with, you know, a medical hub in Iskandar, are you looking to, you know, attract more or really push this proposition of medical tourism as a driver for Thomson Medical?
I think as a country, Malaysia has done very well in the last 5 years or so in promoting the country to be a medical tourism hub. The Malaysia Health Travel Council, I think, has done an excellent job, and we have been supporting them on this. I see Malaysia as a very natural destination for people seeking high-quality, cost-effective care from the region and from further afield.
But specifically to TMC Life Sciences, Roy?
Today, for example, if you look at the group, more than 10% of our revenues come from foreign patients. More than 20% of our revenues for the fertility business comes from foreign patients. And to me, this is just baseline.
So that was for 20%, you
for
said,
fertility.
For fertility.
Yes, this is just baseline. I expect us to grow this at a group level to about 25%. If you look at the countries from which our patients come from, for fertility, for example, they come from as far afield as Australia, Japan, China. It says something. It says, one, clearly, that Malaysia is on the radar for people looking for quality care. Two, of course, it also tells me something about my own company, that TMC Fertility is able to attract people from farther afield. They know about the quality that we are able to give to them. They know about our success rate. But more importantly, compared to potential competitors, it is value for money.
Well, okay, let's talk about competitors. I'd like to take a look, say, at Thailand. How can Malaysia compete against Thailand, which has, you know, much more developed medical tourism infrastructure, or for India, for that matter, Roy?
Thailand has a very strong healthcare sector in Bangkok, in the city of Bangkok, the capital city. But that's really where it is. In Malaysia, we have Penang, we have Klang Valley, and now we're developing Johor. We have, to put it in a, you know, sort of like an analogous manner, we have more bullets in the chamber. and we can offer a better range of services in different locations compared to Thailand. So that's one. In Malaysia, we also have the advantage of language facility. Most Malaysians go through the education system and are able to converse in a variety of languages, English, you know, Bahasa, Mandarin. And therefore, that means that we can cater to a larger group of people. If you visit hospitals in Thailand, that's not always the case. So that's one of the defining and differentiating factors that we have in Malaysia.
Mm. And what about India? They speak English there. They have great medical facilities there.
I have been approached by many people from India to do partnerships. India is a fascinating country, but it's also a very complex and complicated market.
Meaning? What do you mean by that? You say that with a smile on your face.
Very simply, because one, you know, it's a very big country. Where do you go to India for healthcare? Do you go to Mumbai? Do you go to Delhi? Do you go to Chennai? Where do you go? You're not quite sure. It has a very big domestic population that it needs to serve as well. So I would say, you know, if you're looking for medical tourism, there are places where you may want to consider before you go to a place like India. I think for Malaysia, we have the advantage that we're a little more compact.
So who would you consider our biggest competitor? So when someone's making that decision whether to go to Malaysia or to somewhere else, where is that somewhere else?
I was saying that Singapore and Thailand, to some extent, for certain services, these are two closest competitors.
So how can Malaysia position itself as a viable medical tourism alternative to Singapore, apart from cost, of course?
Well, cost is very important. I think the reason why a lot of people have been coming to Malaysia instead of Singapore is because, one, of the cost factor, but more important than a cost factor, because you could have cheap healthcare anywhere in the world if you bother to look for it. But you need to have cost-effective and high-quality care. And the reason why Malaysia has been able to compete very successfully against Singapore in recent years is because our quality of care has improved significantly.
What about the weaker ringgit? Did I just mangle that? The weaker ringgit, how has that affected your business? You know, I'm wondering, I'm sure on one hand it attracts more medical tourists, but on the other hand, it's bound to raise the cost of medicine, equipment and machines and overheads and all that.
You're right. I think having a weaker ringgit would have the impact when you import equipment, you import medicines. I think the good point, if there is such a thing, you know, to this, is we're not alone. Every private healthcare operator in Malaysia faces the same conditions as we do. So the issue really is to be able to scale it. And I think at a larger, you know, sort of a higher level discussion, it should be one where, as a country, can Malaysia purchase healthcare, medical equipment and drugs as a country, collectively, private and public sector, so that we have scale and we can have a better negotiating stance with the pharmaceutical companies.
Is this a conversation that you're having in the medical community?
It is. It is a conversation that I'm having with the ministry. And in fact, the ministry is looking beyond just Malaysia. The ministry is looking at whether we can do this at ASEAN level too.
How feasible is this proposal, Roy? Is this something that other countries do, both private and public hospitals purchase equipment collectively?
I think this is something that countries are beginning to look into more seriously. I know for a fact, in Singapore, they are looking at trying to group procurement across the country. Today in Singapore, there is already a group procurement platform for public hospitals. And the public hospitals in Singapore, they command 80% of the market. So that's a very strong position from which they bargain. If they bring the private sector in, that basically means it's a national procurement platform. I think in Malaysia, we can do the same.
Is it the same ratio in Malaysia? Does the public sector have that leverage?
The public sector today in Malaysia, in terms of hospital beds, that's about 70% share. It can do the same.
Unfortunately, we've run out of time. I've been speaking to Roy Quek, the Executive Director of TMC Life Sciences. I'm Melissa Idris for The Breakfast Grill on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, Frost & Sullivan Malaysia's mobile data service provider of the year.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.